All right, we got a new one called Lucky's Three's a Crowd BS. Oh, yeah, that's right.
That
Lucky department or grocery store had a, what is it, Three's a Crowd rule?
Yeah.
Yeah, where if there are more than three people in line, they pretend, they at least say that they're going to open up a new register.
Yeah,
but there's no one monitoring it.
No.
It's just a saying. It's not really a promise.
It's so annoying.
It's like anyone can.
Now, legally, I don't know if I can put that in the game, but.
I think you can. Okay. You're just describing it. You can't use a logo, but you can say it.
Okay.
I'm Hunter Pence, and you're listening to the Misplay Podcast. Oh, yeah.
Hello, and welcome to the Misplay, where we forget to use our bases in Star Realms. My name is Mark.
My name is Jason, and I am joined, we are joined by a friend of the Misplay, Ryan. Hello.
How's it going, guys?
Ryan is a very close friend of mine, and now a good friend of Mark's.
I was going to say that was so specific.
Yeah.
Just mine.
Yeah, just.
Not ours.
Where are we today, Jason?
So, last episode, we played your game. We got some feedback. We got some feedback from our community. We decided that we wanted to do this episode a little bit differently. And that is why we have invited Ryan here to... Ryan is going to commentate during our game. And he's going to provide some visuals for podcast listeners.
Yeah, that's right. Kind of the Tony Romo, really, of this.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
So we are going to play Supermarket Game. Supermarket Game, or I Wish I Was Over There, is a game that I am pitching as a potential game.
So remembering that part of this experiment was we were trying to decide if we were going to look at building a game from the user experience and the theme of the game first or the mechanical framework first. And since my game was designed with the mechanical framework first, this week Jason's game is developed from theme and player experience first. So take us through a little bit of how you built the game.
The idea of the game is you're stuck in line, that you have gone to the supermarket and you select a line and you wish you had picked that line over there. And when we talked to Leonie on the show, she said, you know, what do you want the user to experience? What do you want them to feel when they're playing the game? And frustration, stuck, can't go anywhere, wish I had chosen a different line is what I want the player to feel. So, what you're going to be doing is placing time tokens down to prevent the shopping lane from going forward. Before we begin, this week's episode is brought to you by Gunnit. Are you up for an adrenaline-fueled thrill ride on your kitchen table? Gunnit offers a fast-paced cooperative tabletop experience for 2 to 4 players, currently on Kickstarter. It captures the essence of those heart-pounding moments in action movies when tension mounts before chaos ensues. In each round, your team must quickly assess the threats surrounding your vehicle and devise a plan with just a handful of cards. When time expires, your strategies are locked in and the scene bursts into action. While collateral consequences are inevitable, you'll discover whether your escape was a success or if things took an unexpected turn. Visit gunit.gg or search for Gunnit on Kickstarter now. Mark, we got to play that.
It was a blast.
You know, one of the challenges sometimes with cooperative games is that, you know, if you have an infinite amount of time to decide the course of action, then you can collectively come up with the correct response. This, you're on a timer, and I really like that. So there were only X amount of minutes between rounds, and you had to choose how to use your resources, your cards.
It was also a nice solution to the know-it-all problem, where you have one person who's really familiar with the game. You have them dictating actions for other players. That isn't really an option in this game. It was a pretty elegant solution to that particular problem with cooperative games.
Also feels like right in line with trying to do a getaway. You don't have minutes to spare. You've got to, you know, obviously.
Yeah. On theme. So gunit.gg.
What are we working on today?
We're playing the supermarket game. Ryan is here to give us some color commentary, some action, some...
Sound effects.
Sound effects.
Yeah, maybe.
Be great.
Neener, neener. Yeah. That's more for the car chase, but I might use it here.
Price check on aisle 2.
Yeah, that's right. Clean up. Wait, hold on. Boop.
Boop. He's scanning.
Yeah.
if you want to pause real quick and look at some of the visuals we're talking about, you can always head over to Instagram, where I posted a couple of pictures and a video of the game just before we played. And before I kind of give you the rundown of the rules, I'm going to let Ryan kind of describe what he sees when he's looking at the boards.
Yeah, so we've got two things. We've got two what look like play surfaces. We have a 4x4 grid that is a bunch of shopping carts. And on there is a Jason character. It's basically just a shopping cart with a little pink banner on it. And then Mark is another one that's green. And then at the very, what I presume are the front of these lanes, are little yellow tokens that look like prescription pills. And I have a feeling those are going to be some sort of time counter. On the other play surface, we've got some coins from another game. This is 1, 2, and 3.
One
and three. And then there are cards that have been kind of randomly flipped over. I saw him do it where he just dished out four of them. And it looks like they break down into, some of them are what look like time cards, and some of them are help cards. And they have little titles on them, like peak hours or store manager. And then they say lane and then a number. And so it's either +2 or -3. So I'm guessing the help ones seem to help you, which means the numbers are negative. And the red ones, they look like they probably hurt you, where the number goes up.
Yeah, a lot of what he described is actually how the game plays. So Mark and I both have characters that are in a checkout lane. There's four lanes, and the objective of the game is to check out of the supermarket. And so you do that by getting to the cash register, which is the last spot on the column. And if there are no time tokens on your character, and mine is labeled Jason, Mark's is labeled Mark, then you check out and you win the game. What you're trying to do is use the time tokens to slow down your opponent. So I'm playing against Mark. I'm going to place time tokens on him or his lane, depending on where they allow me to do it. And we purchase our action cards in the same way you wouldn't if you ever played a game like 8-Minute Empires, where the price changes as you purchase cards. You can always take a free one, or you could pay for a better one that fits your strategy. So Mark and I both have two cards and three coins in front of us, and your actions are choose two. You can buy a card, you can play a card, or you can use the ATM. And we're going to decide first player, Rochambeau.
All right. Wait, is it on three or one,
Rochambeau,
two, three, go?
Rochambeau, shoot.
Okay.
Rochambeau, shoot.
Oh, double rocks.
Rochambeau, shoot.
Oh, palm drop. Oh, double
Rochambeau,
scissors.
Rochambeau, shoot.
Oh, Mark's right. Scissors cut, palm's paper.
Going forward, it's the person with the most amount of money has to play first in a round. So you're at a disadvantage playing first in a round.
Hold on. Help me out here. So you've got, you're moving in these carts. It sounds like a turn-based game where one of you is going to go and the other one's going to go. And you use the word round. So there are rounds to this. Walk me through what happens in a, so it's turn-based. What happens in a round?
I'm going to choose two of the three actions or one action twice. So I can buy a card. So right now, if I was going first, I might pay $1 and I'll take that card. And when I do, I get to take that card to my hand, and then I can play, or I can buy another card, or I can go to the ATM and get more money for future rounds.
Got it. So these little tokens, one and three, are used to going to the ATM is getting access to a one or a three token, and then you can spend those to buy the cards.
Correct. Okay. And I should add that there are essentially three types of cards. There is an action card that adds a time token. There is an action card that removes time tokens. And then there are a couple of different action cards that allow you to move lanes. Some are you do it as a choice. Some are your opponent can force you to move. So for example, you forgot something and you got to get out of line.
Oh, I like that.
So, and on the board, there's already some time tokens to slow down the start of the game. So Mark, you've got the first turn. If you see this cart, this is a special one and it allows you to cut in line. So this is someone who, like the idea is like someone just like comes up and cuts you in line. So you could
Arm's
put this in
a card
front
where
of,
he's just used a crayon to draw an X on it.
That's right.
Looks good.
Thanks.
Yeah. So that's the cutting one. And then what's the other one you got?
Oh, top secret. I don't want them to know, but there's a special symbol on it that I'll talk about later.
Before we start, we have talked about in the playtest process that we want to make sure that we have a plan or outcomes that we're trying to accomplish while we playtest. So for this particular playtest of Supermarket Game, I'd like to propose our guiding questions to be, does the game capture the feeling of being trapped in a checkout line in a fun way?
Yeah, like being trapped in a supermarket. This is the positive side of being trapped in a supermarket.
Yeah, in a fun way.
Yeah.
And did the mechanics that we're playing with in this game match that stated goal of the experience?
And I'm here to tell you the honest truth of whether anyone here is having fun while they play.
So, Mark, you've got the first turn.
Oh, because I won rock, paper, scissors, right?
That's right. So Mark's got two cards, so he has two actions he can take.
I'm going to buy help or buy store, whatever this is.
Yep, so that's a store manager, and it can clear up to three tokens off a single lane. This one moves up.
And I will play last minute candy and chapstick on Jason.
Yeah. Oh, we've all been there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it slows you down.
I would never go into a store intending to buy chapstick, but every time I'm in the checkout lane, I'm like, God, do I need that?
So I am going to start my turn. I'm going to start by drawing a card. I'm going to pay two. I'm going to take time. This is inexperienced staff. This is, quote, their first day. That adds two time tokens to a lane.
As I'm watching this, what's happening is you've got this kind of queue of cards, right? $0, $1, $2, and $3 cards. And so they're paying to buy one, and then other ones are sliding up forward. So we're just constantly exposing one and then moving the other ones up.
And with my second action, I'm going to go to the ATM and take three. All right. So that's the end of the round. So we remove a time token from each lane. And then if there are no time tokens on it, then they would go through the checkout.
Why'd you take one off of each lane?
Because there was one on each lane.
So each round you're taking one away?
Yeah.
Okay.
If there is one on one of those carts. All right. So start of the next round, the person with the least amount gets to go second. So I'm going first. I screwed that up in my head already. I'm going to take the free peak hours, and that's going to shift up these. So I'm going to play the peak hours on Mark's lane. That means it's really busy. And so now he's got three time tokens preventing his lane from moving forward.
I would like to go to the ATM and buy large cart. It was on the three, and it's a plus two time tokens on a player.
Okay. Round ends. Time token comes off of each cart that is at checkout. So these three lanes clear, and then everybody moves up. I have to go first. I have the most amount of money.
So what just happened to is that Jason has slid up one in line, it looks like, right?
Yeah.
And Mark is still back one. And that's a result of the tokens being placed on Mark.
So I'm going to take the free one again, and then I'm going to go to the ATM and take three.
I'm going to play large carts. It's a plus two on player. So I'll stack some on Jason. And I'm going to buy Bag Boy.
So that's the end of the round. So time tokens off. If there's no time tokens, the carts advance.
Now wait, can you switch lanes?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, there's actions that let you switch lanes. So I have these time tokens on me that I need to clear. Mark's lane is not moving yet, but my guess is he's planning to jump lanes.
Smart.
Yeah. Okay, so I have the most amount of money, which means I have to go first. So I am going to spend the three. I'm going to take the lucky. Three's a crowd.
Does that one play, the one that you just took, does it play on player? Does it play on lane?
It plays on lane. I'm going to play a card. I'm going to play inexperienced staff. So first day, and put two time tokens on Mark's lane that he might be trying to move into.
Oh, you got a tough call here because there are two lanes with nothing on them. But yeah. Is there a rule about how many lanes you can move? No, you can move all the way from the far right to the far left, right?
Yeah.
So you're taking a guess there. He's just going to move to the other lane then, right?
Presumably, if he has the card. So I don't know if he has the card.
Yeah. What's the card?
Change lanes.
Okay. So you took a gamble there on the idea that, well, wait, why did you do that? Because in theory, if he has that card, he's just going to go the other one.
Yeah. But I also have a way to make him move out of that lane.
Okay. Got it.
I'm going to go to the ATM.
Should be the Coinstar machine.
Oh, yeah.
Although that doesn't give you coins. You give it coins.
Yeah. You lose 8%.
That's true.
And I'm going to buy bad cartwheels.
So end of round, clearing time tokens, lanes move forward. So now there's an open lane.
What does that do?
Scary for me.
Oh, can he just go right to the front?
Yeah. And he's got two, so he plays second.
Does he win?
I'm not sure.
It's your game, though. How would you not know?
I've got ideas. So with my first one, I'm going to play actions. So I'm going to play two time tokens on this empty lane. Even though there's nobody there, you can still slow down the lane. And then for my second action, So I can place this person in line, or I can have them cut. So I can make the line longer. I'm going to put a cutter.
By virtue, though, a cutter does not enter an empty lane.
That's correct. So,
You can cut your way into an empty lane, because you know when they open up a new lane and actually second.
Oh, that's the worst.
Yeah, and then they're like, "Oh, I'll go," and you're like, "No, I'm the first one up." Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
you can do it then.
That is on theme.
Yeah.
Yeah, I hate that person.
I was a little bit confused about the cutting cards because I thought it was only within lane.
Yeah.
Can I cut the person in lane one
while they're
at the register?
While they're at the register,
That's an immediate fight. Someone has
already
they have swiped like bananas and you're like, I'm going to go now. And please, like, I'll buy these bananas, but it's going to be me.
I think like realistically you have to say no, but within the game, is that possible? How would you answer it? I mean,
it's your game.
Once you start checkout, if you want to stay true to a theme, once you start checkout, people can't cut you.
Okay. So okay.
I'm going to play bad cartwheels on Jason.
Oof. Yeah, he's just stacking time tokens on me. It's a good strategy. Oh, that's one thing we'd have to clarify. I know that these are all on me, but if I'm at checkout and you place one on me versus the lane, then there needs to be a differentiator, right? Because hypothetically, if that was a lane slowdown.
I think you solve that as either a different color or when you have an actual board, you make them larger so that your representative is...
Yes. Yeah, that makes sense.
Have you covered what time tokens do?
The time tokens just prevent a character from checking out of the supermarket. They slow you down around.
Okay, so you're placing these little prescription pill ecstasy time tokens on the individual checkout lines, meaning that if you've got those on you, even if you're at the very front of the line, you cannot check out if you have tokens on you then, right?
Correct.
Correct.
So you're sitting there. You're waiting for your wife to grab cream cheese or something.
Yeah.
Okay.
So as these time tokens get removed, this lane moves forward. This one goes. So now this is scary because there's an open lane for Mark to move. And I have to go first again. This money problem.
How much money does Mark have?
I don't have any right now.
And how many do you have?
Four.
Okay. So you can't even spend all your money right now.
Yeah. And it's actually what I'm realizing is like, if I want to reverse roles and go first, I would want to spend my money. But if I spend my money, I'm not taking actions on the board. So I'm in a tough spot because if he does have move lanes, I think I can't stop him from winning because he can move lane and then play his thing that removes three. Because I know he bought that very early in the game.
What was the card?
Store manager.
So I'm playing a credit card malfunction on a lane that he might go to.
So right now, looking at the board, what we have, just to catch you up, is we've got in these four lanes, Jason is all the way up. He's at the register, but he's got three time tokens on him. So he can't check out yet. There's another lane that Mark is in. The cart in front of him has no time counters on it, but he's still not at the checkout yet. He's still one behind. And then you've got two other lanes. The one is someone has cut in and is checking out and has one token on them. And then the other one is a non-immoral human who is checking out and has one token on them. So he's got two lanes to choose from with only one token remaining, or he can stay in his own lane and he can check out, but
he's not there. He can't win unless he moves.
But he's going to move. He's in a good spot because he's going to move up one no matter what when the turn ends. You've still got three tokens on. So would you win right now if you played a minus three on yourself?
Yes.
Okay.
So hypothetically, if I had that and he didn't have something to add on to me.
Wait, but isn't this turn-based? It's not a stack or not a queue. So if you played a minus three right now, don't you win automatically?
No, because the checkout progresses at the end of a round after both players have taken their turn.
So can you tie in this game?
Yeah, that was one of the things that came up during my first playtest was like, what happens if we tie?
Because you could theoretically both check out.
You could theoretically. Okay. I think one of the things to remember for this initial playtest, we are really just playtesting the concept. If, say, we went ahead with this game and built Supermarket as an actual board game, I honestly don't think it'll look much like this at all. I think it would change a lot. So we're just trying to understand if you know, the theme is interesting.
Okay. In that case, I'm going to buy...
Ooh, he has no money. He's
reading
buying
labels
something,
with zero.
Oh, yeah. Duh.
And
I created the game.
Put a time token on Jason.
Well, this is not good. I need a store manager.
You're going to need to speak to a manager.
I can't stop Mark. I can't stop Mark this round. So this round, these are going to go.
These being the timer tokens.
The time tokens. Mark's going to move up. So all that's left on the board right now is Mark and I are both at checkout. I have 3 time tokens on me as a player, and Mark has no time tokens, and he gets to go second. It's like, did you create this game? Like, how are you so good?
To be fair, it would be rather poetic if you won my game and I won your game.
That's right.
And that is what's happening.
All right. So I'll just play this card just for the sake of showing this card. This is add a time token on a player and force them to change lines. So they forgot an item, they got to go back. So you've got to pick a new line right now. So now Mark is at checkout with one thing on. I have no cards in hand. I have money. So there's nothing I can do. I'll just go to the ATM just so I end the game with the most amount of money.
There you go.
That's the real win condition I didn't tell you about. It's your turn.
I'll ask the front end manager to help out a little bit with whatever problem Jason created for me. And we'll take off 2 time tokens. Oh, I guess I have to do something. I have one more action. I mean, I wish I could do something to annoy Jason some more, but I'll just go to the ATM.
So round ends. Mark checks out.
Check out, mate.
Well done. We saw Madame Web, and I started a slow clap at the end.
Yeah.
And I got like 3 people to do it.
Nice.
Yeah.
I just got 1 person to do this.
It was me. This really encapsulates the feeling of being miserable at a grocery store trying to check out.
Well, that is the first question. So that's the game, Mark won. That is the first question. Did it feel at all to you that you were stuck in your lane? Wish you had chose, you actually stayed in your lane the whole time. No.
You moved me.
I moved you.
But I was stuck. I drew no ways to move lanes.
Okay. So you didn't have a move lanes card.
Mm-mm.
Okay.
But is that, hold on. Like in games though, is that you're trying to get a good feeling and sometimes avoid a bad feeling, but you're never trying to relive a bad feeling. Like playing a game. Yeah. It's not usually like, oh man, I want the feeling of like getting broken up with again. Like, can I just chase that in a board game?
Yeah. Yeah. No, you're right. But to some degree, you kind of want some feeling of, oh, I'm stuck. How do I get over there? Or I should have went over there without you. I'm right. I'm using it for hyperbole, but.
Yeah. So the mechanics are interesting. I like the shuffling of the cards going like $3, $2, $1, and then sliding up every time to sort of reassess value and see when you would get something. And I think I get the concept of the game too, with the idea of people cutting in line. I think there's also an opportunity for humor in the art on the cards or the words that you use, because it will create a little conversation of everyone identifying, be like, oh my God, when somebody does that, there's a lot of like, oh yeah, that guy. But I think that there's a theme here, like there has to be a thrill feeling versus a general source of constant malaise that you are behind. You have to be chasing, you have to be running to something, not just running away from something.
Yeah.
That might be one of those things where we could talk about making the game more of a caricature of being in a supermarket, where like your things are very real and practical. It paints a very realistic picture of your piece of art. But what if you had something a little more Dolly, where instead of like bad cartwheels, you're like, oh, I'm going to chop your cartwheels off. Or, you know, instead of having broken eggs, I broke your eggs. You could have a little bit more of that like cartoony animosity, which might add a little bit to that sense of I'm really going to stick it to that person who's making me mad.
I could see that as a potential lane.
I see what you did there.
I really liked what you said as well, Ryan, about having those relatable moments when you're playing a board game. Presumably you're playing with some friends or family, and to be able to share stories, like you shared stories while you were commentating, like of us, you and I in the supermarket. Right. And so for the game to bring up those things, I think is a cool thing to have.
I did think having things that affect lane versus affecting player was a really wise decision. It made it feel like there were different avenues of attack. Cause like, if you block the lane and I only have help cards that help on player,
right,
it doesn't solve for the lane issue. So I thought that felt very much in line with being in a supermarket, because that's either a problem of mine or it's a problem of the store. And so the lane versus player tags for the game, I think, work really well.
One of the pieces that I was thinking about putting into the game and I didn't was, and it would have really helped me if it did exist in the game, was in the first versions of the game for me, it was you needed a certain amount of money to check out. Mark ended the game with no money. But if you had to have 6 coins to check out, that would have changed some of the things that you were doing. And because, you know, one of the things that I noticed was that you always going second, you were able to respond to everything that I was doing in a way that was advantageous for you.
Yeah, that felt incredibly powerful.
Yeah. So that was the game rule where the person with the most amount of money had to go first. Cause I thought it would be at a, I thought you'd be at a disadvantage going first, and you are, but me having more money, actually you spending your money and responding to me was the better.
I have a suggestion too, that I like your, you like draft. You like draft. So do we both like drafts, right?
We all love drafts.
We all love drafts. I like a draft mechanic where, or something where, for example, you can pick from your mechanics where one of them is like, you use Apple Pay. So if you tie with another player, you check out first, right? So like if you end at the same time, like that's your advantage. Another one could be something like, you're a, I don't know what the word, the PC word would be, but like, you don't let people cut you.
Oh,
so like you, no one characters. Can, people cannot cut in front of you. Or little things like that, that add an element to it that is both like grocery store related, but then also has a, I don't know, we call like another set of die almost where you're sort of, it's not just trying to get to the end. There's like some other component that you're picking as a style of play.
I like that. Cause you could, that could be the character, right? That could be the character ability.
Well, you could even add an action. You could have your passive ability where I can't be cut, or if I have money, I play first or I play second. And you could have like maybe a character ability that could tie into something related to that particular identity also.
And for me, I wanted to find a way to, if I was to continue to evolve this game, I felt like the supermarket emptying isn't, you know, normal. Like when you're in a checkout line, people get in line behind you and the line, you know, continues. And so I felt like our game board was just disappearing. Mm-hmm. And, you know, is there a way to bring people back behind you and then use those abilities that you guys were talking about that now, okay, now you go way back.
I think what you're, to me anyway, where you're going with this, like supermarket nostalgia nowadays, but supermarket, like the feelings of, it's in some ways, it's almost like, it's not Cards Against Humanity, but some sort of little elements of getting to laugh and joke about discovery is the way I would say it. Like you flip over a card and you're like, oh, that guy, like that's a thing. And the more that you do that, I think the more that people will identify with it versus just being terrified to be the slowest lane.
I think also more movement. I think that would be the piece that I advocate for. You could even think about having the lanes be longer, because with the way that a line progresses, there's always just, you can count the number of turns that the game is going to last. And so like, maybe it is longer lines. Maybe it is, there's a part in the checkout phase at the end of a round where time tokens advance, but new people join the lines. And then you have more variance in where people are, so that the line moving becomes more of the characteristic feature. I wish I was over there. I wish you were over there. I wish that person hadn't come into the line.
You could also, that's making me think, you could have characteristics of shoppers, because we all do this. When you go into a grocery store, I mean, every time I see a super old person, I'm like, they're going to pay with a check for sure, right? There's no way they're pulling an Apple Pay. Like they're going to take a risk here. Or you just, you know, or you follow someone who looks like they're 20 years old. You're like, this is going to be so smooth. They're going to get out of here. No problem. And so even adding characteristics to the random shoppers where they have overloaded cart in their lane, or they are, you know, you don't want to be discriminatory about old people, but you know, some sort of thing where you're starting to identify little characteristics of the individual people so that you're, that one checks out a little bit later, or that, you know, little things like that, I think people will identify with.
I'd be curious if we were going to go back and do, like, cause we talked about the idea of going back and doing a revision of MMA Gauntlet. If we did a revision of Supermarket Game, I would wonder if the revision could be, make it more about moving lanes and do a little bit less of the time tokens, because that, like, that's what you're chasing, right?
Yes.
You're chasing that, like, jockeying for position more so than
delaying someone else. Yeah, you're right.
And like bringing back the lane closure incentivizes people to move lanes.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, when I think about the initial concept that I pitched you as the SNL skit, it was about this character would constantly be switching lanes. They would just be jumping and jumping and jumping, you know, and never going forward.
I like the opening of a new lane too. Because that is a thing that really happens.
Oh, yeah.
And what you would then do is you would probably queue. You'd have some mechanic or something of like whoever's next in that other line would then switch over. You could even have a characteristic of shoppers where they go for whatever the shortest line is. So, or maybe that's built into the game. So something to Mark's point of like rearrange, having more lateral movement. But opening up a new lane would be quite a surprise and could, feels like it's very identifiable. Watching that lane open up and be like, oh, hell yeah.
It's a good catch-up mechanic too.
Oh, like the bullet in Mario. You know, when you're in last place and the bullet, you get to be the bullet. Like if you're in, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Pull back the curtain for us, Jason. How does it feel having someone play your game?
This was great. This was, obviously it's even better when someone can come and commentate on your game. I feel really good about what I created in terms of like, it's a board game. I made this from nothing. You know, I've hand drawn a lot of this, wrote out these cards, found some components from other games and kind of, you know, meshed it together. And we played it like we would play any board game between you and I. And there was strategy. I would love to play it again. I would love to, you know, make a couple of tweaks and then play again and see if I can beat you. But like, it felt like a board game. There's a lot, we talked about lots of things that are going to make it better. For sure. No question. Coming from, we talked about this in the very beginning. We had no experience doing this. So with no experience and listening to like a few episodes of Masterclass and talking to a game developer, to have this feels really good. I'm really happy with the outcome. How did you feel playing?
I thought it was fun. I think I would also want to come back and play it again when you've had a chance to make some of those changes or tweaks. The heavy emphasis on the time tokens, I do feel like disincentivized my like attempting to move lanes because all I wanted to do was count how many round phases had to pass in order for my lane to finish before yours. And so it felt fun and the decisions matter, but it felt a little bit strategically simple for the kinds of games that I think we tend to like. And so I think looking at ways now that we've had a chance to play, like it looks really nice. I like the layout. I like the design. I like the feel. And it does feel like I did feel stuck in line because I was like, I can't go anywhere. I got to just wait. But yeah, I think you should feel proud. I do think you should feel proud of the work that you did on the game. It presents really nicely. It plays really smoothly. Everything makes sense. So I think it would be a good idea to go back and like make a couple of revisions to both of our games and then try again.
What was it like watching two people play a board game?
No, I think it's good. I think that the two things jump out to me. One is, weirdly, I feel like there's a fit. If you were to make this game, I feel like there could be a really physical element to it where the board's on a little bit of a tilt and the cards like slide forward or something. Because to me, there's very much a almost like a Frogger element to this, right? I mean, it's kind of what it is, Frogger in a way. Right. It's like advanced Frogger. And then the second thing is, I think the fun of this, it can't be for children because who knows if we'll even be in grocery stores in 10 years, right? It might just be all Instacart. But to me, the most fun element of it was the what's written on the cards or like the sort of the mechanic element of the social, oh God, story swapping, or I've been in that situation before, et cetera. And so to me, the gold here is what you've written on the cards and the theme of it. And so just figuring out how to build more of that, if you were going to do a next version of this, to make it more about the different mechanics and the different unique things that we've all felt in a grocery store, but almost never talk about with each other. Because that's another fun part of the game. We don't really talk about that. You don't go to a party and talk about like someone paying with a check, but we all laugh about it when we're there.
I appreciate that feedback. I appreciate you coming. Thank you so much, Ryan.
Yeah. Keep inviting me back.
Yeah. Maybe we'll hear more from Ryan.
That's so ominous.
Find out next time.
Yeah, maybe he makes it home tonight. I don't know. Maybe he doesn't. Maybe the brakes work. Maybe they don't.
What's next, Mark?
Well, been hard at work on Supermarket Game. I wish I was over there. We've got a surprise coming up on the next episode.
So please don't stand us up. See what I did there?
I did.
It's a hint. It's like foreshadowing.
Because we know it's on the next show.
Yeah, they don't yet. Stand us up. It's good, right?
It's good. The Misplay Podcast is brought to you by Mike C., Missy, JP Savard, Parney, Kyle Flowers, Adjos, Brian. Consider donating at patreon.com/themisplay. If you'd like to become a featured sponsor of the show, find our FAQ in Discord. And we've got a surprise coming up on the next episode. Please don't stand us up.
That was my line.
Oh, my bad.
It's my line.
Go. We've got a surprise coming up on the next episode.
Please don't stand us up.
We've got a...